boy, it's almost as if Tausch was here and Brian was a guest in terms of my time management. Begins now. I do want, you know, obviously we did a fun thing, you and I, and Tausch blew us off, but I'm not going to bring that up, although I guess I just did, at the Tundra Trio. But we also spent some time with Matt LaFleur, talked to him for about a half hour, causing quite the bottleneck as we were doing our interviews at the Tundra Trio and the walkway behind us.
You're proud of the bottleneck, aren't you?
I am. Well, I didn't expect. I walked over to the fence then, and there was several Green Bay police officers authoritatively telling people to move it or lose it. So I was that caught me by surprise.
Move along.
Yeah, it was a little more urgent than that. We have heard from the NFL. You need to move it here. This is a corridor. This is a walkway. This is not a stoppage area. So, hey, Matt LaFleur's popular. He's got great hair. Handsome guy. Lots to say, including him talking about Jordan Love's growth and where he's at as a quarterback. Now, again, if you want to hear the whole interview in its entirety, it is on the ESPN Wisconsin app right now. We're going to play some clips throughout the week. But I would love to, I would love for you to listen to the whole thing. And so you can do that on the ESPN Wisconsin app. In the interim, here he is talking about Jordan Love's growth.
Where is he in his development? You are a quarterback guy, so you know the position. Where is he in the process? What are you expecting from him this year? Kind of give us a glimpse into year three of him as a starter.
I think there's a lot of things that he did extremely well last year. And most importantly, I mean, he was fighting some real injuries and battled through. And the thing I love about Jordan is he is steady. And he's never too high, never too low. And but I do think there's some things that, you know, when it's not the perfect look and you see something, don't hesitate, man. If you can use your legs and break, contain, or make an off-schedule play, I think that's where his game can continue to evolve, and just being very calculated in that approach.
So you did challenge him, though, after the season, talking about being more vocal. Is that something that you can see him being capable of?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And it, again, like I talked about earlier, he has earned that respect. There's not a guy in our locker room that does not respect the work that he puts in and how he shows up for his team on a daily basis. Now, I'm not just talking about game time, but in practice, in training sessions, in the weight room, everything he does is intentional and to the best of his ability. So I'm excited to see, you know, year three of Jordan Love.
Brian, there's no doubt about it. It's a big year for Jordan Love. Where are your expectations at, especially after you hear Matt LaFleur talking about him there?
Yeah, I mean, I think my expectations are pretty high for him, right? Like, I think year three, you know, year one exceeded a lot of people's expectations, obviously, right? And then he gets the big deal. Mm-hmm. Kind of an up-and-down year. Obviously, Matt said that with the injuries. He did obviously battle through some things there, right? And obviously early on, some of the turnovers, then the injuries came. I think he cleaned some of that up, and then he kind of, you know, he steadied the ship and he played some really good football. Then overall, the team struggled a little bit at the end, and that kind of, you know, leveled off. And then how the team ended overall just didn't look good at the end, right? I mean, I think we could all say that. But my expectations for him in year three are high, right? Like, this is kind of that year that he takes that massive step. He puts year one and two together. He learns from those 2 years. He learns what D coordinators are going to do to him, what their plans for him are, Matt as well, and Steno and that offensive staff are learning what defenses are going to do to him as well, right? And they're figuring out what they're going to do to plan against Jordan as well, and they go out and execute it. And I think what Matt said there, too, about off-schedule plays and breaking containment and kind of using his legs and doing those types of things. Like, some of those things, obviously, with the injuries, hard to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and Matt knows that, too. But I think it was even prior to injuries, and maybe later on in the season as he was getting healthier, maybe some of those things he wasn't doing because maybe he was protecting himself, and I get that from the standpoint he wasn't as sure if he was completely healthy yet, which I get it. But you want to see that part of his game again like you kind of saw in year one, right, where he was doing those types of things. So I expect him to get back to that style of play while also learning from year two of protecting the ball, right? Like kind of learning from those mistakes and not thinking I'm going to fit the ball in every single window and making calculated risks and doing those things. And I'm not saying – because what that sounds like to me, that sounds like Aaron, because that's the mm-hmm. stuff that Aaron did. Aaron mm-hmm. broke containment. He made calculated risks. He ran the ball when he had to. But, like, that's just called good quarterback play. Right? Like that's smart quarterback play. And Jordan has to do it on his own terms, right? Like he has to do it his way and how he sees it play out in front of him. Because there's tons of opportunities, even what we saw last year, for Jordan to get out of that pocket and run it or get an off schedule play and do those things. So there's the opportunities for them, you know, for him to do that. He's plenty athletic. He has the arm to make those off schedule, you know, throws and do those types of things. So it's all out there for him. It's just now off season of healthy, being healthy, getting healthy, off season of studying, like I said, of what defenses are going to do to him. And again, adding more weapons, bolstering that offensive line, all of this together is giving him that confidence to go out and have a big year. So I expect a lot from him, right? Like, and there's something about, you know, Green Bay Packers quarterback play that, like, expectations are always high. And it's no different with him, right? Like, it is. Like, and I hate to say it, and, like, this is, I guess, the expectation for every quarterback around the league. When you get paid a lot of money,
yeah.
And this is the same way when you're in an NFL locker room. And say me as a player in that locker room, right? I get he's my quarterback. I get he's my leader, and he is a guy in the locker room. But when you're the highest paid guy in the locker room, there's an expectation, right? Like you got to be one of the top performers in the locker room. That's just the nature of this business, right? Like you need your top guys to play like top guys, right? And mm-hmm. and I've always said it. There's like a tier system to this thing, right? Like, and it has to, like, you need your worker bees to play like your worker guys. Like it needs to be your core guys, and then you need to have your mid-level superstars. They need to have your superstars. Mm-hmm. Your superstars need to perform like superstars, and like. That's the Jordan Love. That's the McKinney. That's the Jacobs. Like, those guys need to perform like superstars. So, like, I expect Jordan Love to be able to do that. I think he can do that. It's just a matter of him going out there and having that confidence and going out there and doing it. So, I expect him to have a big year. I really do. I know people may say, well, he should have had it last year. Listen, I also said last year, be prepared for potential bumps in the road, right? Mm-hmm. There's always course correction in year two, right? Mm-hmm. There could be a big year two jump, but he's not a normal year two jump guy, right? Like we're talking year two jump from rookie year to like second year, right? Like how I always experienced it, my personal self, my rookie year to my second year, I felt so much better in my second year as a starter compared to my rookie year. This is different for quarterback play, right? Like he's been in the league for a while, got his first year starting, got a big deal, got the reins of this thing, got a little more freedom with it. It was a little up and down, okay? Like, so it's different. Every situation's different, but I still expect him to play at a high level this year because I think he can. I really do.
And as good as their run game was, and as good as their defense was, they do need him to play better than he did last year. There's no denying that. All right, if you didn't get to hear the entirety of that interview on the ESPN Wisconsin app, what are you waiting for? Time to download it now. It's free. It's fully customizable. It's easy. It's everything you need to listen to all your favorite shows, all your favorite interviews, live listening, show replays, exclusive content. It's all on the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app. You know what we love to say? Your state, your teams, your ESPN. the Wisconsin sports fans' best way to stay in touch with their favorite ESPN Wisconsin shows and keep up with their favorite teams. Find the new ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple and Android app stores. More with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
He's got a Chevrolet that don't always run and the radio never turns down. He's got a pedigree. That's no
Brian Bulaga is our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch. All right, Brian, I just got this from the team. The schedule for the offseason program, which is obviously underway. The rookie camp is going to be Friday, Saturday. For us, so we look forward to that. But then OTAs, there's only 6 of them instead of the normal number. Then there's a mandatory mini camp. Now, again, I don't want to paint you as one of those old curmudgeonly old school players, but
back in my day,
I walked uphill both ways in the
two
snow.
Days, McCarthy
no shoes.
Was running us. But
here's the thing, and I say this, and again, I am not an NFL coach. It goes without saying. But I do believe in development. Whether you're a youth soccer player or basketball player or tennis, whatever you play. It's all about improvement and growing and getting better. And when you get to the NFL, honing your craft. And look, I get it. Guys want time on their own. They've got their own workout regimens at their various facilities around the country. I get all of that. But I've always felt from covering the team and certainly being older school because of the era that I've covered, that there's incredible value in the off-season program. And Matt LaFleur pointing out that the season's going to start earlier because of when Labor Day falls and all these other things. But the idea that a team that is perpetually young is going to have essentially 3 fewer OTA practices, and that I think Matt said the 28 out of the 32 teams I think are following the same protocol. How important was the offseason program to you? And especially when you have a young team, is this... This is less than ideal, is it not?
I find that very, very odd, just simply because the team is young, right? And just hearing Matt talk, when you asked him about having a young team and how he's had to do things differently compared to when he first got to town and he had the veteran team, right? And it was funny hearing him talk because he said when he had that veteran team, there just wasn't as much that he had to do from a practice standpoint and things that, you know, don't, because certain things just got taken care of because guys just did things. Right? I mean, it's hard to explain because as veteran players, there's just certain things that we just took care of, right? Like, there's certain preparation things, there's certain install things, there's certain things that we see in meetings that we bring to coaches' attention. As much as these guys work, every now and again, they may miss something, right? Like they may just, you know, they don't see something and we bring it to their attention. They see like, oh my gosh, how do we, and they correct it. And we you move on with life, right? And when you have a younger team that may not have those reps under their belt or visually they're not able to, I don't know, maybe they just don't communicate that as well. Like that's on the coaches to kind of see those things and to correct those things. And you get that from repping that out on the field, right? You see that from watching a bunch of tape with them and going over that with them over and over and over again. So to have a few less practices and OTAs, it's a little, I understand where he's come from that the season starts earlier, but it's just a little, I don't know, a little confusing because like I always looked at OTAs. I mean, I get it. Like OTAs, there's benefits to it. I always looked at the benefits was a time, you know, between obviously, you know, the off season and the off season program and camp to kick rust off.
Yeah.
You know, refresh yourself right. with the fundamentals.
You've said that before. Yeah.
Yeah. Refresh yourself with the offense, the scheme, just so that when you hit training camp, there's no like downtime of like refreshing yourself with the scheme. It's just like, okay, I get the pads on and I'm going. Like, I'm not relearning this offense again. It's like already ingrained in my brain. I picked it up already during OTAs. Now it's just like getting that break-in period with pads on and like getting that feeling going again, and we're off and running. So you take away some of these OTAs now, and that carries now back into, you know, training camp now. Now mm-hmm. that you carry some of that now into training camp. So because when you go in OTAs, like, you install it like you do during training camp. So
correct.
Like, you go through the full install of the offense like you would in training camp. So now you're taking 3 days away. So now you're trying to cram all this in three less days. And listen, you may think that, oh, well, there can't be that much. There is that much. There is that much. And you got young guys that you want to teach this to properly, and you don't want to cram it all in. Like, you want to be able to go over it properly. If there's screw-ups one day, you want to be able to redo it the next day and, but, you know, mm-hmm. and be able to, you know, teach it properly to a young team. And to me, if you're trying to like get it all in, and it just, it feels like rushing a little bit, right? Like you're rushing it in a little bit. So they can do it. Obviously, it's not like they can't get it done. It can be done. I'm envious of it that they got three less OTAs. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm not envious of it, because, like, listen, if I was in my eighth year, I'd be loving it. I think it'd be great. But I looked at, if I were in my like third or fourth year, I would be, I mean, it would be like, you know, I would be, from a standpoint of development, just
right.
for myself. I need the work, because, like, I was at no point near, I mean, I was never a finished product, but like, I use those reps for good. Like, those were good reps for me to just like, cause you watch that tape. Like, that's good tape to watch. Like, because you develop bad habits over the off season. Like, mm-hmm. you just do, you develop bad habits, you do dumb things, and you watch that to get rid of that, to get going during training camp. So, like, I don't know. It's the NFL's ever changing. And this is just another part of it. It's just another part of it.
Yeah, you can on one side say it's only 3 days, but on the other side you can say it's only three more days of work that you'd be getting, and there's value in that. All right, we'll get to Woe Nelly coming up next. After I tell you that just like a great team needs great protection from great offensive linemen, American Family Insurance knows that your family needs it too. That's why they make life better by protecting your dreams with the right home and auto policy. So insure carefully, dream fearlessly. American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin. Woe Nelly is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Before we get to Woe Nelly, I want to remind you, we've been telling you about it for about a month now, and it's coming up quick. It'll be here before you know it. The exciting Made 'em Believe event, as you can relive Wisconsin's run to the national championship game. It is June 26th. You can join Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker, Bo Ryan, Ben Brust, an intimate night at the Orpheum Theater, again on June 26th in Madison, to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of that team. Tickets are on sale right now at uwhoops2015.com. That's uwhoops2015.com. Made 'em Believe, June 26th at the Orpheum Theater in Madison. Time now, I believe, for Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
I would like to address how mean Brian Bulaga was to me last week.
What?
Here we go.
Thursday of the NFL draft. Excitement in the air. 600,000, I guess 599,997 of my closest friends, because I counted as three of them, were in Green Bay for the draft. You walk around. You go in. You check out all the festivities. I win the Pepsi Challenge. All kinds of fun things going on.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the Pepsi Challenge. I was telling everybody about the Pepsi Challenge at the NFL draft. I did it. And I correctly chose Pepsi Zero Sugar compared to the other guys.
I don't think that means you won.
Sure does. It wasn't the other guy's challenge. It was the Pepsi challenge. And turns out, I think as the final numbers were tallied, I never saw the final numbers, but I did hear from a reliable source who I'm golfing with tonight that Pepsi Zero Sugar won significantly.
You play golf at night? How do you play golf at night?
Well, sometimes, Brian.
So nobody has to see how he plays.
The sun starts to go down before you finish because your team is that bad. That's what. By the way, also, getting called into golf for the second week of a golf league and already having other times coming up, like, why even have a golf team if you're going to ask for a sub, like, 7 out of 9 weeks? Anyway, Tier 1 Tyler.
Okay.
Wait, so you're filling in for Tier 1 Tyler?
No, I'm
or
golfing
you're
with Tier 1 Tyler. One of the guys on Tier 1 Tyler's team is out, but then he's also going to be out several times that I'm going to be on standby for. So I'm basically in this Wednesday night league as the first alternate, and I'm going to be there more than – it's like when Craig Counsell wasn't a starter for the Brewers, but he started 6 out of 7 games a week because he was a utility guy filling in, giving everyone else a day off. That's kind of my role for this golf team.
Anyway. It's a good role for you,
especially
considering how much you hate the guy.
Yeah.
Whoa, Nelly!
That's not the point. I bought a souvenir from the NFL draft because I said, you know what? I want to have something. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And I was proud when I walked back to the Tundra Trio as he's getting ready for his big cook-off against Tausch with Pit Boss Brian Bulaga. So I said, hey, Brian Bulaga, how you doing? Oh, great. Chit-chatting. I said, look what I bought. Little yellow NFL draft golf ball. Going to be one of my putting balls for when I'm out on the course later today.
Oh, my gosh. Do not.
$8. Do not. $8.
You paid $8 for one ball?
$8 is not. It's a collector's item. You should have seen the
prices.
You're
an idiot.
You should have seen the prices of some of the other. I didn't want a T-shirt. T-shirts wear out in a year or two. I didn't want a hat. They get all sweaty when you're sitting in the sun.
What do you need a souvenir for at all? You were there.
It's the NFL draft. Once in a lifetime. You want to have. Ben Bruss needs to stop sending teams messages while we're in the middle of our show with Brian Bulaga on this. I wanted to buy.
If it's a collector's item, why are you going to use it to putt?
Because when you putt, it's not going to get lost. It's not going to get dirty. And it's
That's against the rules of golf. You can't put a new ball in play.
Yeah!
Says
so that's
who?
That's a penalty. That's the rules of golf. You can't put a new ball in play to just putt with it.
It's a three-man golf, like, scramble league. Everyone's putting a new ball down.
People don't
all
even
the time.
Show up for it, apparently.
Yes, like, the rules are very loose for this
Wait,
league.
Wait, so how was Brian mean to you about this?
You should have heard the judgment in Brian Bulaga's voice and seen the look on his
exactly
face.
I said exactly what you said, Jason. I said
say,
exactly what you
I can't
said.
Repeat
Did it sound anything like you're an
no,
idiot? Why
was,
would you pay $8
for a ball? It was vulgar. It was hostile. I can't repeat the exact line Brian Bulaga said to me when I said I bought a golf ball for $8 to commemorate my NFL draft experience. Something along the lines of, I don't know, I quote, why the blank would you buy that?
Exactly. That's exactly
I'm Team Blue. I am That's Team Blue
exactly
all the way.
There are so many worse souvenirs you could buy from something. You go to Disney World, you could buy a T-shirt, you could buy a collector cup or whatever. Get an $8 Disney golf ball and you have it in the bag. And then, oh,
Jesse,
look, putt with
I
the Disney
can tell
ball.
You.
It's Mickey coming on out.
I'm telling you right now, as a Green Bay resident, all that draft crap is now heavily discounted I could probably get you that ball for $250
now. Just get me another one. Yes. You can have a whole collection of them. Sure.
You can use that one as your sand ball that you just hit out of the sand trap.
Oh my god.
Doesn't even have a logo on it. Like, it's unsponsored, but it's just a golf ball. They made it out of like recycled crap.
Unbelievable.
$8.
$8. That the only thing you bought?
Yes. Took some pictures. Pictures last forever. Unless you lose your phone.
Or your iCloud malfunctions. Yeah. Wow.
$8 golf ball. There are far worse investments that I've made, and I'm sure that others have made, than an $8 golf ball as a souvenir from an event like that.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I got an ESPN hat that they were giving away at the Tundra Trio. You know what that cost me?
Yeah.
Nothing.
I do.
Me too. That's what I got as well.
I did not get one of those hats, and I'm kind of salty about it.
I'll sell you mine for $8.
I'll give you $8 for the hat and another golf ball. How about that?
I will keep my eye out for another golf ball just for you, because that's the kind of friend I am. All right, we need to wrap things up, but before we can, you need to tell us, as Mark Tauscher, of your love of Coors Light.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win after the game, golfing with Tier 1 Tyler, or you just need a moment to chill. That's Tausch saying that. Crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Coors Light brewed with a 3-step cold process, cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains, oh, the mountains on Coors Light's cold activated bottles and cans turn blue when chilled to perfection, which besides the refreshing taste is my, Mark Tauscher's, favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold and only 102 calories, Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
A Golden, Colorado. We'll wrap things up with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Badgers.
When you turn on the tape of Wisconsin Badger.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
You know you're getting a boy dog warrior.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Take my heart, don't break it. Love me to my bones. All this time.
Nothing screams, I went to the NFL draft like a golf ball, is the consensus in the YouTube comments.
Of course,
Brian.
It is.
You are scheduled to appear next week because Tausch's got a couple days. He's going to be gone again. So he'll be rejoining us early next week. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. Well, we appreciate you stepping in. You are always a very, very, very welcome cousin sub of the day. And unlike Jair Alexander, I want you around again next week. I'm willing to say that publicly. I can't wait till you're here again next week. Thanks, buddy.
I appreciate that. Yep, I appreciate it.
Brian Bulaga.
Would you like to buy a Wildy and Tausch souvenir golf ball to commemorate your experience?
$8.
I'm good.
And $23 for a burger as well. All right, that's it for us today. We will do it again tomorrow. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us. We'll have another cousin sub of the day on tomorrow's show. You'll have to tune in to find out who it is. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.